crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
23. Count them. 2, 3. 23 hits. Also count 3 hours and 2 minutes. But hey, 12-5 is the victory today. The Brewers got a little shaky, got a little dicey in the middle of that. Could sense everyone was lighting the torches and wielding the pitchforks. All right, you can't beat the Chicago. No, it's okay. It's why you play all 9 innings. At one point, the Brewers in this game, they were 2-for-16 with runners in scoring position. 2-for-16 at one point. They finished 9-for-27, perfectly .333. So that means for their last 11 at-bats, they went 7-for-their-last-11 with runners in scoring position. So both ends of that spectrum, equally unsustainable. So somewhere in the middle, and it brings you to .333, which in the poetry of baseball is really darn good, obviously. But when you look at the Brewers' season numbers and their season ranks, their top five in runners in scoring position coming into tonight, their season rank total batting average with runners in scoring position was .287. So they certainly had a night where they left still a lot out on the table. It sounds silly to say that the Brewers' 12 runs was the fewest runs they could have scored tonight. I've said that before. They left 16 runners on base. They left bases loaded multiple times tonight. Just don't get the bases loaded. That's the goal. Just don't get the bases loaded. And the Brewers can score more runs. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Yelly had a 5-hit game. Sal Frelick reached base 5 times. The Brewers got 23 hits and 12 runs without a homer tonight. The bullpen was fantastic. A lot to really, really like from today's game. We're going to have Craig Kishon join us a little bit later on here on the program once his television duties are finished. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Let's just go ahead and take this moment to go down the box score here. Everybody reached base. The only guy who didn't get a hit was Willy Adames. Terang, 3-for-5, 2 runs scored. Contreras, 3-for-5, a run scored. Yelich, 5-for-6, a run scored, 5 runs batted in, 2 doubles. Also, he reached 300 career doubles. Adames 0-for-4, but a pair of walks and a run scored. Jake Bowers, 2-for-6, a double and a run scored. Rhys Hoskins, 2-for-5. Ollie Dunn off the bench, 1-for-1 with an RBI. Sal Frelick, 3-for-4 on base, a total of 5 times. Joey Ortiz, 2-for-4 on base, 3 times. Blake Perkins, 2-for-5 with an RBI and 2 runs scored as well. Right down the list. Pretty great night for the offense to get back on track. Ortiz hit a double. Yelly hit 2 of them. Frelick hit a double. Bowers hit a double. That was it for the extra bases for the Brewers. And the bullpen combined to go 4 2/3 innings, just 2 hits, an infield single, and a bloop single to left, and also 6 strikeouts. Don't lose sight of what Milner did today. Stabilizing things there in the 6th inning. Paredes in the 7th earns the win, his first win of 2024. Loved what we saw from the Brewers top to bottom today. The Brewers had a day that, quite frankly, you can circle something from everybody that they were able to contribute to the contest. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. Yelich, the player of the game, when it was time to produce, he did, going 5-for-6. What a dog, that one from Ty in Oshkosh. The City Connect uniforms had some hits in them tonight. 23 hits, 300 with scoring position, and none of them left the yard. This offense has been relentless, and it's incredibly refreshing. And was Churio defensive replacement in the 9th a vote of confidence or just a result of the lead? I think a bit of both there, Josh. Hey, give him a rep, give Blake a breather, and of course the ball finds you there in the 9th inning. And Churio's probably going to be in there tomorrow against the lefty Crochet. Matt from La Crosse, Yelich and Contreras in MVP form. Excited to see what's to come. Love that indeed. Mason from Green Bay, aside from Adames' bad luck, every starter had multiple hits. White Sox are not fun to see the bat rack keep warm and felt important to stay in striking distance while Tobias did not have his best stuff. We'll talk about Tobias a little bit later on with Craig. We'll talk about the relentless nature of the offense too. Aaron in Illinois, smoking Dom. Not sure you need a player of the game bowl tonight. Of course, it's Christian Yelich. 2-run double in the 7th, the difference-making moment. Sal had a very good game, too. This team has shown a tremendous amount of hustle this season on the bases and in the field in both, despite 23 hits, still 8 short of the crew all-time high in a game. Yeah, 31 hits. Can you imagine that? That is the all-time record for a 9-inning game as well. Has any team ever had 23 hits without a home run? I will look up that for you, Aaron, here in the break. The Brewers win big today, 12-5, and again, it was the lowest amount of runs they could have scored, in my opinion. Craig's going to join us in a bit. Let's get to the phone lines. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. CJ in Milwaukee, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hello.
Hey, CJ.
I'm calling coming out of the game from Milwaukee Brewers game. They played really good. I just want to talk about Blake Perkins in center field. Lately, in the past couple games, he's done awesome. Even in the past, he's done awesome. But those big catches that he's made lately has just set the tone for the fans, got him hyped up and ready for the next inning.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Perkins has been incredible. It may not have been a robbed home run there in the eighth inning, but it was just another, like, okay, are you serious? Like, one of those, another great plays. I could tell anybody who comes out here, you know, sometimes I'll bump into the folks that are sitting in batting practice or, you know, getting the great seats behind home, or, you know, they ask me, hey, I coach Little League, or, hey, my son or my daughter's just now getting into baseball and a softball, and they're an outfielder. You know, any tips? What do you see? What should they watch? I'm like, just watch Blake Perkins. His first step, his reads, his comfort of going back on the baseball and being able to take his eyes off the ball, that's something that is so underrated. And when you look at another player that is developing, like Jackson Churio, right? Churio struggles going back on the baseball because he does not have that ability yet to take his eye off the baseball, track up the wall, and then come back and pick it up again and make the play. So Perkins making it look easy every single time. You're right, CJ. That was a great observation by you to see what Perkins continues to do for the Brew Crew. Craig, I mean, you jump in while we're talking defense, but, I mean, 23 hits. Holy cow. I mean, it felt like it was waiting to burst, waiting to pop, and then finally got it going there in the seventh inning.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we've been kind of waiting for this team to pop like that. But I think in a game two, Dom, against a team like the White Sox, I think if you're a good team, it's just a matter of time in a game when you're playing a team that's struggling so mightily like they are right now with this 9-game losing streak they're on, before something happens. Sometimes it could be an error or two that really opens things up, or it's just the fact that maybe you got to the weakest part of their pitching staff, and it's the bullpen at that point. And your hitters are due, and I don't know, you're just feeling confident. There's a lot of good things going. They've been playing well at home, so this was certainly a fun one indeed. And just to have a big inning like that, and just a big game when you get 23 hits and you start making, you know, franchise single game record now. I mean, they're in the top 4 hits in a game. I don't know if I would have predicted that when the season began.
Yeah, I mean, look at what the offense is doing right now. And I'm pulling up the season-long stats right now, just for team stats right now. And I'm looking at it in all of baseball, the Brewers have the best team batting average at .259. League average is about .240 this season, okay? They're about 18 points, 17 points better than league average. Their OPS sits at .755. That is third best in baseball, only behind the New York Yankees and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Brewers have an offense. And a night like tonight, I think the biggest number today, we can talk about how many hits they got, we talk about all this stuff, they scored 12 runs, they had a good day with runners in scoring position. They had total command of this game without a home run ball. I mean, they have such a dynamic offense, stealing bases, extra base, base hit, bat to ball. Even with all their strikeouts tonight, and those were frustrating at times, the Brewers still struck out 11 times tonight, but they still walked 6 times in addition to those 23 hits, which is why they left 16 runners on base. The versatility that this offense has is, in my opinion, what makes it so dangerous.
Yeah, and we kind of highlighted what the top 3 in the order did here in this game. And what did they had 11 hits and 7 RBIs. Of course, Yelich had a lot to do with that. But then, you know, from mid order all the way down, they had 11 hits as well. So it couldn't be any more balanced than what we saw. And you know, the other thing, Dom, is hopefully this is a sign of, with Rhys Hoskins returning here and being, you know, another huge threat wherever he's placed in the lineup, is just going to continue to allow Christian Yelich to have nights like this, Willy Adames to have more nights like we saw earlier on this homestand. And who knows from there, William Contreras is, he's just a one man wrecking crew here right now. But yeah, this is pretty impressive stuff. To keep this rolling would be tremendous.
And I've said it to you before, I've said it again, tonight was only the 15th game the Brewers have had their entire core all together in the same lineup. That ideal 2-3-4, maybe five. Hoskins was batting sixth today, but Contreras, Yelich, Adames, Hoskins. Only the 15th time this season that they had them all together today, and I think that certainly pays off dividends, to say the least. Tom and Caledonia, I see you on the line. I got to get to a break here. We'll come back with you on the other side of the breather. Brewers win big, 12-5. Dom and Craig with you here for a little while longer, right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. Fun times indeed. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. The local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank, knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon is with us as well. But right now we're going to get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Tim in Caledonia, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're great.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. There was a statistic or a thing they had said tonight for with bases loaded tonight. They were only 5-for-45 with bases loaded. But that, to me, then they got that hit, so that's 6-for-46. But I'm just saying, you know, with they're one of the best teams in baseball with runners in scoring position. That could you imagine if they were really good at that part?
It's hilarious, right? It's just a total paradox of they are, yes, you're right. They are 6-for-46 up to the second with the bases loaded this season. The one extra base hit they have was the grand slam by Jake Bowers against the Pirates in a game that they ultimately lost. So, Craig, I appreciate the question there, Tim. It is hilarious that they're like this. And, Craig, I pose the question to you. It's just like, it's silly, and it's not like you change your approach with the bases are loaded or anything, and it's just one of those things that we're going to circle and laugh at. But the Brewers are literally the worst team in baseball with the bases loaded, but yet they're a top three team with runners in scoring position.
That is crazy. It really is. A couple things that popped to my mind: quit loading the bases. Maybe that would help. Bring in those runs so they're not loaded. But you know what? Things change, which is kind of interesting. You know, we're only, you know, end of May, and we still have four more months of baseball yet to go. It could be crazy to see how that number could change as the season goes, and how much more valuable, if it does, it will mean to the offense. Maybe there will be more home runs. Maybe their, you know, average will you know, just simply go up overall with runners in scoring position, which is good. I don't know, but baseball is a funny way, as a lot of people know, of equaling itself out. And if they don't need it right now, great, but maybe they will down the road. Maybe they will in some big games and some big matchups. So it's hard to explain other than say, you know, that's baseball for you.
Yeah, and let me give you a number here. I'm looking it up right now. Big thing that jumps out to me about the Brewers in their runners in scoring position ability and what they've been able to do is just get volume of runners in scoring position and finding ways to, you know, just get the chance to do it. I remember for the majority of the season last season, the Brewers had the fewest just plate appearances, flat chances with runners in scoring position. So a lot of folks saw the rate stats and were like, oh, they should be better with runners in scoring position. Like, oh, they're league average and they have a good OPS with runners in scoring position. But they still had like 150 fewer plate appearances than the teams in first place. Now, not only are the Brewers providing with runners in scoring position, they have the most plate appearances in baseball in these leverage situations. I don't think that's a coincidence given the improvements that we saw in the offseason to this team. But furthermore, the mantra of be relentless, in the words of Pat Murphy, that is his motto, win tonight and be relentless. Those are the things you hear over and over and over again from Pat Murphy. And man, they were relentless tonight.
Well, and you look at the guys that fit that that definition that you're talking about, that Murph talks about, that you know Matt Arnold and his staff have been able to put together. I mean, Bryce Terang is relentless at the plate. We saw, to me, I was so impressed with that. I think there were three straight pitches. It was hit. The hit and run was on, and you know Terang fouled off the first two, but he was relentless and finally got that third pitch to go and delivered a run. We know William Contreras is. We know Christian Yelich is. Willie Domus has been a little bit up and down in that category, but he fights like you know what. Rhys Hoskins is on this club because of that. Sal Frelick is all about it. That's why they drafted him. And I think Joey Ortiz is the same way. That's why they wanted him in that trade for Corbin Burnes to come over. So that's just the guys that were in the lineup tonight. Some of them, you know, there were others like Gary Sanchez, who's been, you know, huge in the limited time that he's played. He'll be in there tomorrow. You can bet against the lefty again. So it's been something to watch. And if this is your makeup and this is by design, man, it is sure working out.
So I found the number here that I was looking for. So right now, up to the second, when it comes to situations with runners in scoring position, the Brewers have 628 plate appearances with runners in scoring position to this point in the season. At the same point, through May 31st last season, the Brewers had nearly 200 fewer plate appearances with runners in scoring position. 446 exactly 1 year ago. That's what jumps out to me. And yes, tonight was an anomaly, and it's not going to be like this every single night. But the law of averages works out that if you keep giving yourself opportunities, not only are you going to play to your averages, in theory, you should get better and get more experience. A reminder, like you talk about with Terang in his sophomore year, the sophomores were the story tonight. I know Yelly had five hits. For me, the sophomores were the story tonight. The bottom third of the order, what Frelick continued to do to get on base, Ortiz getting an RBI double, Perkins working some great at-bats as well, then Terang at the top of the order with another couple of two-strike hits. Those sophomores at 7-8-9-1 stretch in the order are the reason why William and Yelly had such great days, because they set the table for the rest of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're gritty. We talk about this all the time. They don't perform and act and carry themselves like they're second year players at all, which is obviously the best part. This is why these guys are playing every single day. And I think the other thing, you know, to have 200 plus more plate appearances with runners in scoring position than a year ago, you know, I look sometimes and marvel at how these guys are doing offensively, what their averages are, just simply by looking at the scorecard and the lineup each day. I mean, Terang, when the day started, was at 290, Contreras 317, Yelich at 297, Adames at 260, which is way up for him. Sal Frelick 254, very respectable. Joey Ortiz 281 for a guy that's, you know, played not even three full months in the majors. Last year, the last couple of years, you'd look up and down this lineup, and there were times where half the lineup would barely be near 200, given one way or the other. And you just can't win that way on a consistent basis, and you can't put guys in scoring position like that on a consistent basis. So these guys have done their work. The new guys have been great additions. It's been pretty tremendous all the way around.
Milwaukee is 34-23, 11 games over 500. They have a run differential of plus 59, and they just finish up another month where they were above 500, four games above 500. We'll talk more about that and our expectations and what's popped and what's made this work despite everything that's gone wrong for the Brewers. This one, hey, we got to call it now. This text coming in, 855-616-1620. Are they Murph Smashers or are they Murph Maulers? We got to figure it out. Still need some more starting arms to go with it. That made me chuckle. And then Jerry and the Dells, this one felt extra sweet. Slower start, but they're always in it, you know. And good signal tonight here. Love that. Appreciate you listening still on the AM signal. Great Cubs series. Good ball played all around y'all despite all the injuries and some bad luck. What a great ride thus far. Enjoy the journey. Let's talk about that journey. Up next, Brewers win 12-5 over the White Sox on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 12-5. I'm Dom Catronio. One more segment here with Craig Kishon. Craig, let's go ahead and talk about the starting here real quick. And Tobias Myers, what went wrong, why he's here. Let's start with the why he's here. A reminder, Tobias was not on the 40-man. He was a non-roster invitee to spring training. Quite frankly, I don't think the Brewers envisioned him starting games in May and even into April for the Brewers, given they still had Wade Miley, they still had Joe Ross, they still had Jacob Junis, they still had D.L. Hall, they still had maybe even Aaron Ashby ahead of him on the depth chart. Jansen Junk was on the 40-man. Like, the list goes on of all the things that had to happen for Tobias Myers to make multiple starts in the big leagues. Reminder, he is not a finished product by any means. He is learning what it takes to get out to the big leagues, and it does not matter if it's the White Sox, if it's the Cubs, or if it's the Yankees. If you are over the heart of the plate, these hitters are going to make you pay, and I think he learned that lesson tonight.
Yeah, he did. I mean, what do you have? DeJong had that leadoff home run in the third. So, okay, that's happened to him before. But it at some point, you might lose it a little bit. And he might have with the next batter in Mendick when he hit him in the head. And then that kind of shakes you up, I think, as a pitcher a little bit. And then, you know, what do you do after that? Well, he just kind of ran into trouble and ended up giving up a couple of more runs, a couple of more hits. And, you know, you got to figure some stuff out. And it's early enough in a game where you have to have some leeway to be able to do it too. So no, he's not even close to being a finished product right now, but I think he's loaded with talent. I still like his demeanor. I think his stuff's going to be there. I think he's already made some adjustments. And for young guys, I think that kind of speaks volumes here right now. So work in progress is probably the best way to put this guy, and the fact that he is not for sure a finished product, but I think he will be someday for sure, someday soon.
And a reminder to, I don't know if we'll get another chance to talk about it. The bullpen was phenomenal tonight, and I don't care that it's the White Sox. The bullpen did their job tonight. I know Milner allowed a rare inherited runner to score, but you know they were coming in swinging hard against him. He allowed two inherited runners to score from Myers, but two outs, nobody on, two on, nobody out, generally is going to score at least one run, and they got the job done there. But Milner settled down. He had that big sixth inning, and then Paredes just really slammed the door in the seventh inning. And at that point, the Brewers were still trailing 5-4. It's like, hey, let's go, guys. Like, the bullpen kept us in it. And then, boom, bottom of the seventh, the big six-run inning happens.
Yeah, they always get forgotten when you have those late inning, huge offensive heroics, if you will, because certainly the offense is going to steal the headlines here in this one. But, you know, if things go the way they had been, I mean, you're talking about, you know, being given up five runs already and being down, you know, not even halfway through this game. So kudos to those guys. They did a great job. Milner's solid. You know, I feel bad when pitchers come in and give up those inherited runs, and I can't imagine how they feel in that situation, but it's going to happen at times for sure. Paredes has faced, 15 batters and has retired all 15 as a Brewer here, and he got the win tonight coming in that seventh inning, and they had their explosion in the bottom of the seventh inning. So there's something developing with that guy for sure. He's going to be already is, Dom, fun to watch. And just you know, you just add another really important guy in, late in that bullpen like that.
And looking to the bigger picture here, giving a breather for Piamps, giving a breather for Hudson, giving a breather for Piguero. He was up today, but giving a breather for him, giving a breather for Koenig. He's been used a ton lately. So all of that leads to the next. And look, if you can find a way to keep a rested bullpen heading into the Philly series next week, I'm not trying to look ahead of the White Sox, but hey, you know, you got two great arms coming the next 2 days with Gasser and Freddie. If they can hold up their end of the bargain and keep the bullpen fresh for Philly, I'd be fired up for that moving forward into what could be maybe the next, you know, it could be a playoff preview, quite frankly, given they're leading the NL East, the Brewers are leading the NL Central. Those two teams could certainly meet some if things go according to plan in October.
Yep, and don't forget Trevor McGill. You know, he hasn't pitched since Tuesday, and he's not on the injured list. So every day you can give him, you know, the opportunity to continue to rest here right now is only going to be that much better when they actually do need him to come in the game after that injury to his elbow on Tuesday. Thankfully, not severe enough, but all the things you mentioned there, you got to take into account they're giving him a blow here right now when he's really kind of become your closer. And they're still going to need that for some time here.
Bigger picture here now. The Brewers, 11 games above 500. They're the only team above 500 in the Central. Both the Cardinals and the Cubs lost tonight. I don't care about standings, but I look at the record and I look at some of the underlying stuff. The Brewers are the only team with a positive run differential in the entire division. The Brewers continue to dominate their division. They just took 3 out of 4 at home against the Cubs. Their division, they are 16-8. Now, I know the White Sox are not a division opponent. They have the best record in the division against intra-division opponents. No one else is above 500. So what I'm saying here is we're through May now. It's a sample. It's a actual sample size now. I'm ready to say it. I'm confident in saying the Brewers are the best team in the Central. And once again, to quote-unquote, to borrow basketball, the ball is in their court. Like, this is their division to run right now.
Yeah, and you know, here's one I want to run by you, too. And I ran this by Vinny kind of unexpectedly on our pregame show today. You look at the starting pitchers for the staff here right now, and I get it. In an ideal starting staff, you want to go, you know, at least 5 innings. Give me 6 or more. And it's been a rare occurrence. And the bullpen has done an outstanding job. There's no question about it. They've used a lot of pitchers as starters. They've used a lot of guys coming out of the bullpen as well. Guys have been up and down. Guys have been released. They've, you know, they brought in new guys, whatever the case may be. But I'm kind of looking how this team is playing right now. How would you play a playoff game? If your starting pitcher's in trouble, you need to win every playoff game you're playing in. You're going to go to the bullpen earlier maybe than you would in the regular season if your starters are doing the regular stuff. I guess my point is, Dom, they're kind of pitching almost like they're in a playoff game every day, which kind of reflects what Murph says, win this game today and worry about tomorrow. Be in the fight, stay in the fight. And make the decisions you make and do whatever it takes to stay in this game and win this game. That is the mentality of a playoff caliber team.
And they might have to get creative given the lack of innings that they've been getting out of the guys. Look, a guy like Freddie, you can let him go. A guy like even to maybe by the end of the season, Robert Gasser, you just let him go. But they may get creative with an opener. They may get creative with a quarter horse. And the Brewers have the third fewest games which their starting pitcher has thrown at least 6 innings. They have the third fewest in all of baseball. And the teams that they're around, not good teams. The White Sox, the Marlins, the Mets, the A's, all of them are right around. The only team that's also an outlier like the Brewers, no surprise, the Cleveland Guardians. They've also had issues in their starting rotation, but they get the job done. Now, the Guardians' offense is not quite like the Brewers' offense, but the Brewers, it's just flipped the script, right, where the bullpen's a constant. That's always been good. But for once, the offense is kind of carrying things right now and able to hide some warts of the starting rotation, which in theory should get better when you get Joe Ross back, when you get DL Hall back, when you can put some guys that have actually got some big league time under their belt, as opposed to, with all due respect to Tobias Myers, he is learning on the job. He is learning on the fly how to get big league hitters out. And you got to think, moving forward, this is going to get better for the Brewers, especially with Freddie, with Gasser, with Ray, with Wilson all in the fold, and then you can kind of fill in and filter in from there. The starting rotation should get better as the year goes on.
I was asked yesterday if this Brewer team, especially on the pitching end, can sustain what they're doing. And you know, the starting pitching, I think we agree, it can only get better, and hopefully it will. But I guess my bottom line in my answer to that was, I don't see this team regressing in the way that they're playing baseball here right now. And I only see the starting pitching staff getting better. And maybe that's, you know, some of the guys that you're talking about coming back that are injured. And maybe it's, you know, them making an acquisition to solidify their starting rotation as well before this one's up. So we shall see. Like you said, we're through May. We know who this team is now. That's for sure. They've got the identity of their manager. They've got the performance and development of what they've done over the last decade with their pitching staff, and they're rolling pretty nicely. There's no question about it.
Certainly been very, very fun. Craig, we've got you all weekend long. Got to save the good stuff and save some hits and runs for the rest of the weekend, too. Appreciate your analysis as always, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good, Dom.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. I got a couple of texts that have popped in here, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. There's going to be a long highlight segment. We're also going to hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Well, this is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Man, that was a long game. Woo-wee. Every bit of 17 runs, and what did it end up being, like a total of 30-some hits? Woo-wee. What a night at the ballpark. I'm Dom Catronio. 32 hits total. Brewers win 12-5. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Is your AC unit more than 10 years old? Through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a brand new unit. You can visit Sider to schedule your appointment today, Sider.com. That's Sider.com. Texa came in here complaining about the middle of the lineup giving them way too much credit. Adamas, Bowers, and Hoskins were 0-for-9 at 1.5 strikeouts, but they didn't finish their guy. I mean, if you want to complain about garbage time and getting hits in garbage time, then let's just stop the game in the fifth inning. Like, then there would have been no opportunity for the Brewers. They got the job done. Reese went to the opposite field. Unlocked it. He hadn't played in 15 games. Give me a break. Bowers is in a funk. Bowers is not playing well right now. He knows that. You know that. But they're going to ease Hoskins back into this, and they're facing a lefty tomorrow. Hoskins is going to play first. Bowers is going to have the day off. So don't overreact to it. Adamas, 0-for-4, but reached base twice with walks. You're not going to go 5-for-5 when everyone else is going 5-for-5. I'm not going to overreact to that. I'm mad I even gave that text attention, quite frankly, because that's why you play all 9 innings. That's why you get all 27 outs. Every at-bat matters. You want to tell Oliver Dunn, hey, you can't get an at-bat here because it's garbage time. It doesn't count. Take that hit away. Of course not. The dude's going through a funk. Bowers loved those hits that he got. Maybe that can lead to something down the road. So don't think about it like that. Yes, they left a small village on the bases. They know that. The Brewers know that. It's a team issue with the bases loaded. But at the same time, you got to play the whole game. Got to see what happens. And it won't be this way for the entire season. Some roster thoughts today with Reese Hoskins being activated off the injured list. Owen Miller was sent back down to AAA Nashville. And Garrett Mitchell is preparing to start his live journey where he's going to go back to Arizona, get one last checkup. He's going to start seeing live pitching, get to see the velo machine, and start working his way back. So that's good news for him. And another thing today, I was lucky enough to be involved in a conversation with Brewers principal owner Mark Adonasio, also VP and chairman Rick Schlesinger, and also general manager Matt Arnold, where me and members of the media, we just kind of had a full roundtable where it was, hey, let's Just have a conversation. It's all on the record. Let's find out things. And one of the things that we talked about with Mark Adonasio and Matt Arnold, for that matter, is Jackson Churio. And they believe in him, and they feel he's not going down to AAA. They feel that, yes, sub-600 OPS. Yes, the offense hasn't quite been what you want it to be. But he'll show flashes. And they feel, look, we can send him down to AAA, and he can hit 350. It's not going to help him. If he can be up here in a big league environment, learn how to fail. It's the first time he's failed for this long in his professional career, and he's 20 years old. And being around pillars of this team like Peralta, like Adames, like Hoskins, like Yelich, like all of these guys that can help him, guide him along the way, they feel that is more valuable than him tearing up inferior pitching in AAA. And they brought up the fact that, look, they let Bryce Terang fail all season last year, and it has paid off this season, to say the least. And that certainly makes things interesting from a roster perspective when Garrett Mitchell returns, because does that mean the Brewers consider carrying all five outfielders? Because Blake Perkins' defense, I'm not sending him down. Whereas you could carry Yelich, you can carry Perkins, you can carry Garrett, you can carry Sal. So that's four right there. And then Churio, sounds like he's sticking around, so that's five, which means you have to make room somewhere else. So that's like 3.5 weeks to decide what that is going to look like for the Brewers when it comes to their roster. But as we said, today was big to have the core back in order. We will likely see Gary Sanchez in the DH spot tomorrow. Maybe he's going to catch and let William catch on Sunday for Freddy Peralta. And William would be the DH. One of the two will be DHing tomorrow against the lefty Crochet. But once again today, William and Willie starting in the game. They have started every single game for the Brewers, all 57 of them. First time they've had a pair of teammates go this far into the season, starting every game since 2005. So very rare air for Contreras and Adames. Wanted to address that here as well. Pat Murphy's coming up next. Highlights a little bit later. There are plenty of them, I promise. Brewers win 12-5. Brewers extra innings rolls on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers extra innings on WTMJ.
Three-game weekend series with the White Sox, the old AL rivalry days. I'll tell you what, White Sox, they're not very good. But hey, there's plenty of season to figure out what they've got. Tommy Pham's a piece. They'll trade him. Maybe they'll trade Crochet. Maybe they'll trade Fetty. Tough times over there for the Southsiders. Pat Murphy, take no prisoners, right? You win 12-5. Don't complain about it. Here's what he had to say after today's game.
You remember Miami. You remember that second game in Miami? Same thing. We had a bunch of guys in position to score, and we didn't execute, and we didn't do what we had to do. But, you know, again, that's not the easiest thing in the world, you know? So, be it as it may, the great thing is we stuck with it. You know what I mean? And we kept going, and we kept putting ourselves in those positions. That's relentless. That's not getting discouraged and saying, oh, God, we got to try harder and do more. And it's part of baseball. You know, one guy gets put in a situation. Reese Hoskins hasn't hit in a baseball game in a week or so, and he came up in big situations, and he finally came through, stuck with it. It's a testament to who he is. You know, Bowers didn't have his best night with guys in scoring position, and all of a sudden he got two hits at the end. So it's like, you know, if you just stay after it, you know, and that's sometimes you're going to lose games like that. But I'm just proud of our guys that they stayed after it. They played all night after exhausting series, four games at home versus the Cubs with a lot of emotion, and then to come back today and be in that spot and could have squeezed it too tight and just kept playing. I credit those guys. Yelich was fabulous. I mean, we had a lot of William who, hadn't been swinging it the way he wanted to, came back great. He was out for early hitting. You know, I mean, it's like these guys are hungry, and I love their hunger.
12 runs, 23 hits, no homers. Kind of interesting to be able to just right. Keep the chain moving, right?
It's unusual. You know, it's unusual, I'm sure. I guess you're right now that I think of it. Some good, you know, Hobie pitched really good. Hergé pitched really good. It's Herget, and we keep calling him Hergé, and then we start doing it, and then we start Yeah, no, it's both those guys threw the ball well, and we stayed after it.
Bryce is at bat in the seventh there to tie it up. That seemed like it kind of opened the floodgates a little bit. Was that at bat just the way it unfolded? Got behind 0-2, fouled off some tough pitches, fouled off a fastball up and away, and then shot one through for the base hit. Does that just kind of encapsulate
it does.
What you've seen from him this year?
I mean, that's who he has to be. You know, like he has to be able to say, hey, they don't want to walk me. You know what I mean? They know my danger on the bases, but in those situations, he just, I'm not going to leave the zone. I'm just going to do what I need to do. And whether it's no strikes or two strikes, and he just stays after it and stays within himself, doesn't try to get big or, you know, extra base hits are thrown, you know, they're thrown usually, you know, so I'm really proud of his progress. And you know, a lot of guys, Frelick had an unbelievable night offensively. Perkins, you know, Ortiz, those guys had great nights, along with the obvious with Yelich and Contreras and Terang. The guys at the bottom were fabulous.
On kind of a broader note, is that how a night like tonight happens, when you just have guys up and down the lineup not trying to get too big, not trying to do too much?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's purposely trying to get big, but I think it's like you can overcook stuff. You know what I mean? There's just a temperament to play with. And this is a long game tonight, but I'll tell you, it was outstanding. You know, outstanding, relentless behavior instead of letting that bother you. Oh, I left it. First and third, one out, we didn't score, you know, or bases loaded, one out, I didn't get him in. You know, hey, I got a responsibility to go back out and play the next pitch. So I was really thankful that they did that.
He calls them hungry, he calls them relentless, and tells them to win tonight. And the Brewers certainly did that. 12-5, the final tonight for Murphy's Mashers. I like Mashers. I don't know if Maulers works. I like Mashers. Murphy's Mashers. Highlights coming up next. Brewers win on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers finally getting their City Connect jerseys back in their lockers today, opening a weekend set with the Chicago White Sox. Tobias Myers, the rookie, going up against Eric Fetty, the veteran. Now, we're not going to play every highlight from this game, but we're going to play a lot of them because, well, there were a lot of hits in this one. The Brewers opened the scoring in the bottom of the second inning with a couple of the rookies and the young players in the bottom third of the order getting the job done.
Line to right. If it's fair, it's extra bases. It is fair. Into the corner. Joey Ortiz is going to drive in another run, and he did. Sal Frelick with a belly flop slide gives the crew a 1-0 lead on a nice piece of hitting by Joey Ortiz.
Just placed it perfectly down the right field line, as called by Bob Uecker. It scored Sal Frelick from first once again. 1-0 Brewers. But then in the third, a response from the White Sox, a solo homer from Paul DeJong, and then a two-run double by Corey Jolks gave them the lead, 3-1, and it began the boxing match. In the bottom of the fourth inning, a leadoff walk started the frame. Then an infield single by Joey Ortiz had 2 men aboard for Blake Perkins.
Line drive, base hit left field. They'll send Frelick around third. The throw coming home is cut off. 3-2 on Blake Perkins, RBI single.
Bryce Terang would drop down a sacrifice bunt. William Contreras would work a walk to load the bases. Now, the Brewers had already stranded the bases loaded back in the first inning with only one out in that frame. Now another opportunity, this time with Christian Yelich. It was his first plate appearance all year with the back sack.
1-0 pitch. Ground ball, base hit right field. One run is in. Here comes Perkins around third. The throw home is cut off, and the Brewers have the lead. Christian Yelich delivers a two-run single. A three-spot in the fourth inning for Milwaukee.
Jeff Levering on the call there. However, they would leave 2 men on in the fifth, and then the bases loaded again in the sixth. Meanwhile, the White Sox would reclaim the lead, a two-spot in the fifth inning, thanks to a sac fly and an infield RBI single. So the White Sox in front, 5-4. The Brewers offense stuck in neutral until the seventh inning. That's where things really took off quickly, thanks to a 10-pitch at-bat from Sal Frelick. He managed a single. With one out, Blake Perkins managed the single. It put runners on the corners, tying run 90 feet away with Bryce Terang at the plate. He would poke a single through the right side. That would tie the game at one. Next up, the exact guy that you wanted up after a pitching change, William Contreras.
First one to Contreras. Ground ball, base hit. The Brewers have the lead. William Contreras does it again. It's 6-5 Milwaukee.
And then the merry-go-round would begin. Christian Yelich hitting a milestone.
Checks the runners and deals. Ground ball. That's a fair ball inside the bag. Terang scores. Contreras sent around third. He will score. It's a two-run double for Christian Yelich.
Just snuck it inside the third base bag, literally painting chalk, and the 300th career double for Christian Yelich. That made it 8-5 Brewers. They still weren't done. A few batters later, the guy who started the frame was up again, Frelick.
3-2 pitch, runners go, and it's hit into shallow center. In comes Pham. He dives, can't make the play. A run will score. Frelick on his way to second, and he is in with a hustle double.
They would bring 12 batters to the plate in that seventh inning, as the Brewers would take control with their biggest inning of the year. 6 runs scored. Now, we do got to mention one thing. We're not going to play all the runs from this game, but we did get another defensive highlight. And from who else but Blake Perkins.
Pitch to Sheets. Fly ball center field. Perkins back. Still back. And he's got another one. Are you kidding me, Blake Perkins? Unbelievable. He goes up towards the Robin Yount notch in deep left center field, got to the warning track, fell for the wall, and made the play up against the yellow line.
Probably wasn't a home run, but he stole extra bases, to say the least, from Sheets. The Brewers' bullpen combined to go 4 2/3, and they only allowed 2 hits and no runs. And they're a big factor in today's win. The Brewers win 12-5, a season-high 23 hits in this one. A fun night at the ballpark. We'll preview tomorrow and the rest of the weekend coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
23 hits, none of them were a homer. The Brewers get 12 runs on the board to win Game 1 against the White Sox. Tomorrow, first pitch is at 3:10. Coverage will begin at 2 o'clock. I've got you for Brewers warm-up right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Network coverage will take over at 2:35 for the 3:10 first pitch. Then I've got you after the game as well for extra innings, just like this program. And then Sunday, it'll be a 1:10 first pitch. I'm on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. Again, 12:35 will be the network coverage. First pitch at 1:10 on Sunday. Pitching matchup tomorrow, it'll be a pair of southpaws, Garrett Crochet for the White Sox against Robert Gasser for the Brewers, who just celebrated his birthday today. Happy birthday to Robert Gasser as he turns 25 years young today. And then on Sunday, Freddy Peralta will get the ball for the Brewers to wrap up this 7-game homestand. He'll be going up against a right-hander by the name of Nick Nastrini. It has not been a great year for Nastrini and the White Sox. Brewers improved to 34-23. The White Sox fall to MLB worst 15-43. That's going to do it for us here this evening. Brewers get a victory to open up the series against the White Sox. It was a little late, but hey, the offense still arrived just like the Brew Crew jerseys. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us and for our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio. Good night from American Family Field. Until next time, keep on swinging.